Hey, I've got a really interesting question to ask you today as we start our Bible study. And that question is this: have you ever hidden from somebody? Now think about it. Now I know for some of you, you probably just got a really good laugh out of that because you can remember a time when you did. Whether it was that vacuum salesman coming down the driveway and you told your family, quick, turn the lights off and everybody be still, act like nobody's here. Or maybe you've avoided somebody because you didn't want to see them. The question is, why do you do that? Why is it that you hide from somebody? Mainly it's because either you don't want to hear what they have to say, you don't want to spend the time listening to what it is, or you feel that maybe it's a waste of your time, or maybe it's something that you already know that what they're going to ask you or what's coming, and you just don't want to have to face it. The bottom line is that each and every one of us, at least at some point in our lives, have hidden from somebody. Now, the question I want to ask you today is, are you trying to hide from God? Well, that's a real interesting question, and we're going to address that today as we take a look in God's Word at the book of Genesis chapter 3, and we're just going to deal with one verse today, but we're going to call today's Bible study, Hiding from God. Grab your Bible, turn it to Genesis chapter 3. I'll be back in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I trust that your week has gone along well and that you had a moment to ponder the question that I asked you just a moment ago and allow the Holy Spirit to have that time to work in your heart and to begin to prepare you for the time that we'll spend around His Word today. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago that we're going to be dealing with really just one verse out of Genesis chapter 3. It's verse 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 says this. It says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today and as we begin our Bible study, I pray that you will prepare our hearts, Lord, that you will deal with us today in regard to where we are in circumstances and situations and our dealings with you. Lord, I pray today that if we find ourselves attempting to hide from you, that we would realize how futile that is, and that, Lord, we would just simply surrender over to you whatever the cause may be. And Lord, we just pray that you will draw us close today through your word. As always, I ask that you would bless me as your messenger for the moment, that you would be truly high and lifted up, that you might speak to your children through this, your messenger. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, most of us are familiar with at least this particular passage in the Bible. It is one of the most basic chapters that we have. And what it does is this particular chapter, and of course I had you reading that this past week, it records the temptation and the fall. That is particularly verses 1 through 6 of chapter 3. And most of us know that if you spend any time around church or vacation Bible school, or any time whatsoever in or around the Word of God or church itself, you've heard the story of Adam and Eve. You've heard about the creation. You've heard about the temptation in the garden, and you've heard the promises that God had made. Now, what's happened is, you know, when we get to this particular point, you know, Adam and Eve have messed up. They have already partaken of the forbidden fruit that they were not to partake of. And they realized a few things. One of them is that they realized that they were naked, and they began to work on clothing themselves. And essentially what's happened is all of a sudden their whole world has changed, you know, spiritually and physically in every way that you can imagine. And then what happens is God is walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What a time for sweet fellowship with Him. And what's happened is Adam and Eve have gone into hiding. Now, you understand how that goes. We mentioned just a moment ago that there's probably a time in your life when you've hid from somebody for whatever the reason was. Maybe it was something that you had done and you felt like when you saw them, you knew that they knew what you had done, and you really wanted to avoid them. You didn't want to have anything to do with them. So along the way, what you did was you hid from them at least as long as you could, realizing and knowing that someday you were still going to have to face them no matter what. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve were doing. They'd gone into hiding. And folks, you know, the bottom line is that people today are still trying to hide from God. When you think about it, you know, in the context, that's something that, first of all, is impossible to do. You can't hide from God whatsoever. And yet people still want to do that. Maybe it's to try to buy them some time. Maybe it's to try to figure something out. Whatever the situation may be, the bottom line is one day you're going to face God. It's plain and simple, and you cannot hide from Him. He already knows your heart. He knows where you are. He knows what's going on. And as we consider this particular passage today, I want to consider what happens with some people. Some people hide from God at the time of His investigation. Now ponder that thought for a minute. At the time of His investigation. And notice what He says over there in that particular verse. One of the things that He said to them, once we find out that they're hiding, is He said, He basically called out and said, "Where are you?" You know, "Where are you folks?" Now, that's, to me, I always found that as kind of an interesting statement, because God already knew where they were. The same way that the things that you are trying to hide from God concerning, He already knows all about those things. I promise you that. Yeah, God is, one of the things about God, though, is He is always seeking sinners. You know, the Word tells us over in Luke 19:10 that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Notice what the first part of that, He came to what? He came to seek and save the lost. Now, one of the interesting things that, that particularly when people are maybe struggling with their salvation or whatever the circumstance or situation may be, yeah, I will talk to them and I'll ask. I said, you know, is there conviction in your heart over the sin that's going on in your life? I mean, do you feel that chastening of God within your life? And man, I tell you, it makes me feel so much better about that person's spiritual condition when they say, "Yes, it's driving me crazy. It's eating me alive. It's eating me alive from the inside out." Well, folks, the bottom line is that is God speaking, you know, to you, whether it's through His Word. That's one of the ways that He speaks to us, is through His Word. And that's something that shows us that He is seeking us. You know, when you read His Word and you realize that, one of the challenges I love to give people are certain things to look for as you're doing your Bible study or as you're reading God's Word. You know, I've always said, look for the things. Look for sins to confess as the Holy Spirit reveals them to you through His Word. Look for promises that God keeps you, that God gives us, that He's going to keep in our lives. Yeah, you know, look for those type things. Look for an area in which we can improve. Look for promises that He's given us. I mean, there's so many things we can look for as we seek the Lord in His Word, but we must first remember that He is seeking us. And one of the ways that He's doing that is through His Word. Sometimes He seeks us through trials. One of the things that we talked about last week was the fact that Christians are going to go through trials, they're going to go through tribulations. And sometimes God is seeking us. Sometimes He is chastening us to get us back on the right path through the trials and the tribulations that we have. Now, that's not always true. And I want you to be sure that you understand that today. Just because you are having trials and tribulations in your life does not mean that God is chastening you to return to Him, or chastening you to confess and repent of some sin in your life. Now, sometimes that is the case. Remember what we said last week. Sometimes we cause a lot of our own problems. But I think last week I recalled the passage of Job, and I said, when you look through that, there wasn't anything that Job did to deserve what was going on there. It was a test. It was for God to draw him close. But yet there are some times when God will seek us through trials, no matter what the circumstance or situation may be. There are other times that He'll seek us through preachers, just like right now, just like you're listening to me teach a Bible study. You know, I know for a fact that God's Word does not return void. There is some word that the Holy Spirit is going to use today in your life if you are pondering and looking and seeking Him, because He is seeking you. And when the two of you are seeking each other, you will be found. So it's not whether or not the preacher's a phenomenally good or phenomenally bad preacher. God's word stands on its own, and it does not return void. So sometimes God is seeking you through preachers, a message that you have heard. Yeah, it's funny that I've talked to people before, and yeah, they may not remember any of the rest of the message, but there was one particular point in a message maybe that I or another preacher spoke that the Lord just really just grabbed a hold of their heart with and dealt with them through that particular situation. So that's another one of the ways. Remember what we said, he seeks us through his word. He seeks us through trials. He seeks us through preachers, and sometimes he seeks us through caring friends, people that truly care about us, that don't want to see us go down a wrong road or a bad path. Today in society, it just seems like that what happens is people take the adage of, well, you know what, it's none of my business what they do. You know, I know that they're not walking in a biblical way. I know that they're not doing what God would want them to do, but that's none of my business. Well, folks, let me tell you something. According to the Word of God, it is your business. You know, we're family. That's what we do in family. We're not to let another brother or sister go down a wrong, bad, or sinful road without us doing what we need to do to try to help and prevent that. Now, that doesn't mean being nosy, but that means approaching somebody with love and with care. Notice what I said. I said sometimes God seeks us through caring friends, people who have our best interest at heart. Now, there may not be a ton of those people in your life, but I guarantee you there's at least one or two that when they talk to you, you will listen to them. You may get mad, you may get fussy, but you will at least ponder what they've said and you will consider what it is that they've said to you simply because you know their heart. You know they love you. You know that they care about you. Now, let me just go ahead and say this. I said it a moment ago, but I'm going to say it again because this is going to drive the point of tonight's Bible study home, and that is that hiding from God is futile. You cannot hide from him. There is no place that you can go that you can get away from God. Yeah, even in the midst of total darkness, as the old boy would say, whether that's spiritually, emotionally, whether it's physically, even in total darkness, whether it's literal or metaphorical, you cannot hide from God. Plain and simple. Okay? Yeah, some will try to hide from God. We've been talking about how people will try to hide from God at the time of his investigation, but there's also some that will try to hide from God at the time of his invitation. You know, in John chapter 5, verse 40, it says, you will not come to me that you might have life. Now, think about that verse for just a minute. You will not come to me that you might have life. How sad is that? And a lot of us have seen that before. You know, somebody who knows God's plan of salvation, somebody who knows about eternal life and somebody who believes that, but they will not turn to God because of their own stubborn will or whatever else the case may be. And that was what the Lord said. You know, you will not come to me that you might have eternal life. And folks, last time I checked, it's been true since the beginning of time, and it is still true to this day, that no one comes unto the Father but through Jesus the Son. You can't make it without him. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough good deeds. You can't serve enough. You can't do any of those things. You're not going to buy your way into heaven. And you know, when we consider this thought of you will not, what was that? What did I say? John 5:40, you will not come to me that you might have life. That is the most difficult hiding for me to understand. Why would anybody not want eternal life in heaven? You know, sometimes people have said, well, it's just because I don't believe in it. But yet there are people that I know that say, I do, I believe in that, but you know what, I'm just going to wait. Or you know, there's plenty of time. Folks, we're not promised our next breath. The Lord could call us home through various situations in the next breath. You know, you're not even promised that. And for me, that's just one of those things that's difficult to understand. That's a hiding that I find difficult. Why would people want to hide from eternal life? Because you're going to spend a whole lot more time there than you ever thought about on this earth. You see, our Lord's invitation goes out to each and every one. Sometimes people have said to me before, they've said, well, you know what? Yeah, you just don't understand all the bad things I've done. Or you just don't understand. There's no way that God could want me? Well, last time I checked, according to the Word of God, old John 3:16 says simply this, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever, that doesn't split out into categories. That means each and every person. Man, what a tender truth we find in the book of John chapter 3 and particularly verse 16. You know, when you think about that, think about the compassion. Now, we know what compassion is. You know, we're not going to sit here and just put some crazy definition on it, but you know what compassion means, to have some care for other people. Think about the compassion of the cross, that Jesus, even being perfect, you know, the last person that should ever have had to have been crucified on a cross, the sinless one, the one who loved and cared and did it better than anybody ever has, mainly because he's the only one that ever could. Think about the compassion of the cross, that even though he didn't deserve it, even though he didn't have to, he went to Calvary's cross, put his life down, and picked it back up that you and I might have eternal life. So when you begin to sit back and think that you don't matter, think about the fact that if you were the only person on the face of this earth, Jesus still would have gone to Calvary's cross just for you. That's his compassion towards you. That's how much he loves you. And you know what? A lot of people just have a hard time wrapping their mind around that, particularly in our day and our time and in our society. Now, so the Lord gives this invitation to all of us, and it's a gracious invitation. I love what Matthew 11:28 says. It says, "Come unto me." That's what it says. "All ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In fact, over in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the last invitation in the Bible says this. It says, "Come." The Lord is inviting us. Now, you know, Adam and Eve, they find themselves out hiding among the trees. You know, imagine all the things that God has done. You know, they've messed up. They've done something that they weren't supposed to do as God had commanded them. They had bought into the lies of Satan. They had partaken of that fruit. And here they are out in the middle of the garden hiding. Now, think about it. What are some of the trees that you and I and people of our society today, what are some of the trees that we hide behind? Let's put it into some real life today in 2024. Well, one of those trees is a busy schedule. You know what? I don't know anybody in this day and age in 2024 that does not have a busy schedule. We're all busy. We've got places to go, things to do, people to see, you know, deals to make, whatever you want to call it. But a lot of people are sitting there and saying, "Oh, well, you know what? I would do that, but I just can't seem to fit that into my schedule." Folks, let me tell you something. If you don't have time for God or make time for God, and I want to say it that way because that's what you have to do. If you don't make time for God, then your schedule's all out of whack anyway. You'll never be able to get it completed and managed until you first get it in the right priority. Yeah, but people all the time will sit back and say, "Well, you know, I would do that, and I would get involved, and I would do these things, but my schedule is so busy." Is that you? Are you one of those people that's saying that? You know, we also see the hypocrisy among Christians. And I can tell you right now that I hear this more than anything. People would say, "Well, why would I want to come to Christ? Because I know old so-and-so over there, and he professes to be a Christian. But boy, I tell you one thing, he doesn't live what this Bible teaches." Now, one thing I can make you a promise of, somebody that you know that's lost, somebody that's unsaved, they know exactly how they should live according to the Word of God. And they will use that against you every time. If you are a professing believer and you mess up, and by the way, you're going to mess up, but do you continually, willfully, and out front mess up? That's hypocrisy. And what does hypocrisy mean? What does it mean to be a hypocrite? It means you're saying one thing and doing something completely different. And what happens is a lost and dying world, if they see you as a professing believer, they don't see you living this word, they don't think it's real to you. They sit back and say, "Well, you know what? That's just something they do on Sunday." Because if this Bible really meant something to them, then they would be living by it, but they're not. So evidently that's just a game and I don't want to be any part of it. Well, that's a tree that people hide behind. Hypocrisy, whether you're the hypocrite or whether you're the one pointing out a hypocrite, that's a tree that people are trying to hide behind to avoid God. And there are other excuses. I mean, excuses are a dime a dozen. Satan will give you excuses for everything. You know, and what happens? You know, what's another tree people hide behind? Oh, well, nothing changes. You know, everything is just the same. Well, let me tell you, a true walk with the Lord will provide changes within your life. Okay, so you know, what I say, you know, people are hiding from God at the time of His investigation. Some are hiding from God at the time of invitation, and some will even hide from God at the time of His indignation. There's some passages over in Revelation. I won't have you turn there for the sake of time. But one of the interesting things is that there is a wrath of the Lamb. You know, how strange when you think about it. An angry Lamb. You know, the Lamb. And we're not talking about just the one that's running, a lamb running around in the field. We're talking about the Lamb of God who was slain on Calvary's cross. God does have a wrath. And I think that in our society today, everybody wants to forget that there is a wrath side of God. Everybody wants to look at God and say, He's like the big grandpa that you can climb up in the chair and love on Him, and He's going to spoil you to death and everything else. Well, let me make you a promise. Those things are true about God. He is the one who loves you and cares about you, and in a lot of ways, He'll spoil you rotten. But He's also the same one that will spank your tail when you get out of line. And most people don't want to look at that. You know, you hear all the time, well, how could a God of love do this to a particular person? And in most cases, it's not that God's doing that to a particular person. Most of the time, it's we're putting ourselves in those types of situations. We haven't allowed God to take over the circumstance, the situation. We haven't allowed God to take over our lives. But yet, think about that lamb that was slain on the cross. Jesus is that lamb. You know, He came to take away the sin of the world, the thing that dooms us, the thing that from our birth, from the moment we were born, we were born sinners. And unless we give our life over to the Lord, that's not going to change. And we're going to spend an eternity in hell. Folks, the one thing I can promise you today is this, and you can take this to the bank. You are going to have eternal life. You know, this body may die, but the soul is never going to die. You're going to have eternal life. The question is, where are you going to spend it? Are you going to spend it in heaven with a God who loves you and gave His Son for you? Are you going to spend it in that place called hell, which is the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, the place where there's sorrow all the time, there's no rest for the weary, and where it is just torment day and night? That's basically what it boils down to. You are making a choice. And some people say, well, I'm not going to make a choice at all. That in and of itself is a choice. You are either for God or you are against Him. You're either one of His children or you are not. So if you are not a believer today and you profess that, then you are a child of Satan, and you're going to spend eternity with him. This is one of those things where you can't take a neutral position. You can't ride the fence because eventually you are going to go into the hereafter after, whether it's through death or whether it be through the time when the trumpet sounds and the Lord calls His children out to be with Him. The bottom line is that we are all heading for eternity somewhere. What is your choice? Okay? Think about those who are trying to hide from God. Think about the kings of earth. You know, one of the interesting parts is that position makes no difference down here. The Word tells us God is no respecter of man. Now, that doesn't mean that He can't use man. It doesn't mean that He won't use man, because He does. But your position doesn't matter to Him. I have a feeling that there's so many people who have spent their whole life striving for some sort of position on this earth that's not going to translate into heaven when they get there. You know, in other words, they're going to be normal when they get there, if they get there, which is a key component in and of itself. You know, think about those that tried to hide from God, chief captains and mighty men. Power does not protect you. Yeah, you can have a powerful position. You can have all the power in the world, and it is not going to protect you when it comes time to stand before God Almighty. You know, all who are free and slaves, you know, the riches do not save. I've said that before. The Bible accounts that in so many different ways when it comes down to it. You know, I don't care how much money you got, it's not going to translate in heaven. I like how the joke said one time about a fellow who was wealthy on earth. And one of the things he wanted to do was he wanted to take his riches with him. So in his will, he had it. that when he was buried, that all of his riches would be buried with him. So, of course, they did that. And, you know, and of course, this is facetious, by the way. It's a joke. So what happened was, it says that when he got through the gates of heaven, he noticed that there were people kind of elbowing each other and snickering a little bit and laughing. And finally he went up to one of them and he said, what's so funny? Two of the guys that were watching him, one of them looked at his buddy and he said, hey, look at this guy. He brought up a load of pavement. Remember, the word tells us that the streets in heaven are of gold, so pure gold that it's even transparent. And when you think about that, that's dirt. You know, the riches and the gold and all the things that we seek here on earth, that's pavement. That's dirt up in heaven. It doesn't amount to anything. So if you think that riches are what's going to get you there, then you need to think again. Remember what I said earlier. No man comes unto the Father except through Jesus the Son. Now, there's some safety that comes in hiding in Christ rather than from Him. So think about that. Are you hiding in Christ, you know, hidden with Christ in God? You cannot hide from Him, but you can hide in Him. Do you run to Him with your situations and circumstances? Do you allow Him to surround you and take care of every aspect of your life? Because that's exactly what He wants. That's what He wants to do, and He will do that greater than any person that could ever be thought about in this life doing. Yeah, and so my question today is simply this. Have you responded to God's call? You know what, maybe today you're that person that is hiding from Him, just like Adam and Eve were in the garden. Maybe there's some sin that has just kind of overtaken you, and you're trying to hide from God. I'm not going to say you're hiding from Him. You're trying to, because He knows exactly where you are. You know, when are you going to come out? It's interesting what God says. When God said, where are you guys? We're going to talk about that next week. But He's like, where are you guys? God knew exactly where they were. You can't hide from Him, but you can hide in Him. Can you go to Him today? Can you stop running? Can you go to Him and confess and say, Lord, I've been running from You. Yeah, and this is what's made me run, and today I'm confessing that before You, Lord. I am asking for Your forgiveness in a great way, and Lord, I'm just coming to You up front right now. I love the fact of what the Word of God tells us. It promises us that when we do that and when we truly repent, God is going to wrap His loving arms around us. He is going to receive us with great love, with great affection, with great compassion, with great grace. If we will only do that, we've got to give up our own selfish desires and run to Him so that we can hide in Him rather than from Him. Will you come to Him today and be safe? What is it that you're running from? I can promise you that right now the Holy Spirit has already put the conviction in your heart about the thing or things that you are trying to hide from God concerning, or even some of the things that you think that you're hiding from God, which you're not. So I tell you what, He knows what they are, and He knows where you are. Would you just give up? Would you just say, look, okay, Lord, look, I'm done. I'm throwing my hands up. I surrender. I'm giving this all to You. And Lord, I want a new life, free from chastening, free from the conviction that is just tearing me apart from the inside out. Would you just give it over to Him today? You can do that by simply saying, Lord Jesus, today I'm done running. Lord, I confess my sin before You. And Lord, I ask that You would forgive me. Help me, Lord, not to be in this place ever again. Lord, help me never to run from You, but rather run to You. And Lord, help me to live for You better today than I did yesterday. And Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, folks, if you did that, then I can promise you, you made a new start. The question is, what are you going to do tomorrow? Are you going to repeat that same thing? Are you going to go back into hiding? Some of you may have done that for so long, that's all that you know. Well, today, as you gave it to the Lord, I can make you the promise that you are free from that. Will you rest in that freedom that comes from Him? Will you stop hiding from Him? Will you stop running from Him? And will you get on with life? Yeah, I've said so many times in life that I've seen people that work so hard at something or to try to even get out of something. I thought if you would just put that same effort, into just following the Lord that you are trying to run from the Lord, then man, you would be one of the most stellar Christians that I know. It's harder work to run from God than it is to run to Him. Will you run to Him today? I hope and trust and pray that you will. And as always, if we can be of any help to you here at Central Baptist Church, please contact us. Please let us know. We would love to be able to assist you on your return to the Lord and on your discipleship as you go forward. It's not a bad thing. Listen, if it's boring or it's bad, then you're not doing it right. That's one of the things I've always said to people and mean that with all my heart. So in just a minute, I'm going to be praying for you, but I want to tell you what it is that we're going to be looking at as far as our Bible readings for this week. I want you to stay in Genesis chapter 3 for your Bible readings this week. Next week, we're going to discuss what have you done from Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. What have you done? How many times have we heard that? Probably in that same manner. Usually the inflection's a little bit different. It's like, what have you done? Yeah, because you're generally in trouble. Well, that could hold true for this passage as well. So study up on Genesis chapter 3. We'll look forward to meeting once again next week as we discuss what have you done. And in the meantime, know we're going to be praying for you. Let me have a word of prayer with you right now. Father God, I come to you. I thank you for the fact that you are our all in all. Lord, I want to thank you for the fact that not only do you lead us and guide us, but Lord, you chasten us. You seek us before we could ever even think about seeking you. So Lord, for all of those today who are hiding from you, maybe hiding sins from you and hiding from you personally, I pray, Lord, that they would surrender, that they would come out of hiding, that they would run to you, wrap those loving arms around you, confess that sin with true repentance, and Lord, begin a brand new walk starting right now with you. Lord, we know that that's what you love. We know that you want your children to walk with you, and that's what you desire of them. So Lord, right now, I pray that we would stop the fight, that we would begin to surrender, that we would run and hide in you rather than from you. So Lord, we pray that you'll give us a great rest of this week. Speak to our hearts through your word, through messages, through godly counsel. And Lord, help us to desire to seek you. As a believer, we should. But Lord, help us to grow and to grow closer to you each and every day. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, again, I want to thank you for dropping in and joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church, located in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. As always, we would love to have you come join us. If you don't have a church home or a place that you can call your spiritual home, we welcome you at Central as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. We meet on Sundays at 10:45 a.m., so come on down, see what it's all about. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North, right across from the Oak Ridge Military Academy, and you would just make our day if we could see you this coming Sunday as we worship our Lord. And until then, God bless you. I pray that you will have a great week and that you will be an instrument in the hand of the Father in the lives of those that you will come in contact with. So God bless you. Have a great week.